Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Oh, the rain keeps on coming down this Friday here in New Orleans. It was a tough drive getting to the studio and looking out the window as we see the city. It's still coming down pretty hard. And the LSU baseball game, still no official start time from the Tigers. It's supposed to be a 6:30 first pitch. We know that's not happening, but no new word on any updated first pitch for the Bayou Bengals versus Arkansas tonight. We'll see where that's headed. We've been talking a lot about Saints rookie minicamp, though, which got underway today. We saw a bunch of the players in the facility getting their equipment on. Tyler Shuck making those throws, which I know we'll be keeping an eye on tomorrow, too. That slow-mo video of, you know, dropping back, throwing the football will be a must-view for all Hoodats.
Look at that arm.
During this rookie camp, right. And
what a dime.
We talked about it a little because you saw some stuff from Cleveland Browns folks getting a little overhyped about Shedeur Sanders and what he was doing at their rookie mini camp. I get that folks are excited about these new players and what they bring to a franchise, but, oh, man, just don't oversell everything.
Here's the thing. As fans, I want you to get excited. Get excited. Be excited. As media members, I get tired of, like you know what you're doing, and that's attention farming, which is like, oh, man, Shedeur Sanders was one of the last people to leave the Browns facility today. That means he's committed. Well, first of all, you didn't say he was the last one to leave.
One up, right.
So clearly someone's more committed than him.
Or that he was perfect on the day throwing the football. It's like, come on, man.
It's like, this is the, you got to pass go to make $100. How does that work? Because that's Monopoly, right? I don't know. I've never played Monopoly.
Get out of here.
I'm not a Monopoly guy. I don't enjoy it. It's not my game of choice.
But like growing up, you must have played the game of Monopoly.
I hated it. I played it one time. I tipped over the board. And
you were that guy.
Yeah. They asked me to be the banker, and I said, no, I don't want to be the banker. We'll take your money. Anyway.
See, I was always fighting to be the race car and then tried to get Boardwalk, of course, and build up the expensive properties.
I remember I always wanted to be the thimble because I was young enough that I could like wear the thimble. Anyway, I just outed myself as having played Monopoly.
There you go,
what
right.
What am I going to do now? But no, I mean, it's rookie minicamp. It is the most basic form of the most basic things you can do as an NFL player. It's a situation that if you can do all the things they ask you to do, fantastic. You move on to the next step. If you struggle with the things you're asked to do this week, then that's a problem. Like, being able to do it is, it's like, okay, great, congratulations. Everyone has to be able to do this. So that's really, I think it's more of just like weeding out people who shouldn't be here.
And hopefully that's none of your draft picks.
Right, hopefully it's none of your draft picks. There's also, I want to say 16 tryout players. I don't have the list in front of me. You do. Can you pass that along? Yeah. You probably did. I think I probably have it. Sorry. There's 16 tryout players. You know, there's a few that are interesting. You know, tryout players typically don't make the roster, but we have an hour that we didn't expect to have, so we're going to talk about the tryout players. You know, so there's 41 players in total. There's 9 draft picks. There's 11 undrafted free agents. You have 5 players under contract who are coming back to rookie minicamp, and that's Travion Fuellen, the cornerback from last year's Xavien Valade, a running back. Josiah Ezrim was a draft pick from last year's tackle. Trayton Welch, the tight end, and Michael Jacobson making his third consecutive appearance at a rookie minicamp. But the tryout players, one in particular kind of stands out, and it's Donovan Peoples-Jones, is the wide receiver. He went to Michigan. He was a sixth-round pick back in 2020. You know, and the reason it stands out is there's, I think, the Saints, one of their needs as a team right now is a bigger-bodied wide receiver who can be physical at the point of a catch and make plays. And so I don't think Donovan Peoples-Jones is going to make the roster, but I do think you're going to continue to see the Saints try to fill that role. And, you know, maybe this is a stab at saying, hey, let's see what he has. He started with the Browns. He was a sixth-round pick of the Browns. Spent the last 2 years with the Lions. He last played in 2023 for the Lions. His best year, I think, was 2022. He had about 800 yards, three touchdowns. Never really made it as a receiver in the NFL, but does have a skill set that maybe the Saints could take advantage of. And I think, you know, when I say that, keep in mind that throwing him on the practice squad in one of those veteran slots that you can elevate him at some point throughout the season is definitely a successful version of what can happen with a tryout player.
You're looking at some of the other names on there. What stood out to me, Javon Bird. Is that any relation
He's
to
not.
Jarrett?
No, huh? Yeah. I looked that up. But he is you know,
defensive back. That's why I was like, I wonder if, you know, any relation here.
I thought the same thing when I saw it. It was one of the first, like, the Northern Illinois put out a tweet saying, like, congrats, he's been invited to rookie minicamp. So I looked it up then. He is not. Chris Tyree is also not related to David Tyree. Looked that up as well. He is a wide receiver out of Virginia, wide receiver running back, but they do have him listed as a wide receiver. He's a funny guy. When I was looking up his highlights, and just to kind of get an idea of what he looks like on the field, it was just funny because I could only find Notre Dame highlights. I could not find any Virginia highlights. But every single catch, because this is just kind of a reel of like a bunch of catches, every single time they would be like, former running back Chris Tyree catches the ball. They could not say his name without being like, he was a former running back.
Almost like when, you know, back in the day of Jimmy Graham's, you know, the former basketball player.
Sure, yeah, yeah. Or like every time Kramer Robertson touched the field, it's like, you know, that's Kim Mulkey's son? It was like, wait, really? Whoa!
I had no idea.
I hadn't heard that on every single LSU baseball broadcast. Anyway, so not related to Chris Tyree, but he is a former running back. But Hunter Deckers, is that name familiar to you in any way? Do you recognize that name?
We talked about it a little, so now, you know, things are coming back, but go ahead and explain story.
So Hunter Deckers is kind of fascinating. He was once a highly touted quarterback prospect. He was over at Iowa State. He was the backup to Brock Purdy at Iowa State. Yes, the Brock Purdy of the NFL. He was the Mr. Irrelevant. Now he's a starting quarterback for the 49ers.
About to get paid.
He was going to take over that role, but then he got in trouble for putting a bunch of bets down. Illegally, he was too young at the time to be gambling, but he bet a $15 on an Iowa State game that he did not play in. The NCAA found out about it. It was this whole gambling probe. This was back before, like, you know, you still can't bet on games now, but it was before it became this massive, you know, before the Caesars Superdome and whatnot. But actually, it might not have been before the Caesars Superdome. Don't quote me on that. Either way, this was like 2019, I want to say. 2022, I've lost track. My computer's updating right now, so I can't even Google this. I'm going off memory alone. But he was banned from the NCAA, ended up going to Iowa Western Community College to finish out his college career, and now he's taking a shot at the NFL. So kind of I don't know if cool is the word for it, because I'm sure it was a devastating experience for him to, you know, lose out on the ability to even play college football. But just kind of an interesting situation just in general.
Yeah, it was something I brought up to you when we first got in here, the fact that I didn't see the other quarterback on this sheet to begin with, and I was like, I thought it was a little odd. I was like, I can't believe that Tyler Shuck's the only QB they're bringing in for this minicamp. But like you mentioned, there is Deckers around, but there's going to be only two QBs there, so it's even another body.
A lot of throws for Shuck and Deckers.
Shuck it up.
Yep. Shuck it up. Yeah, the tryouts, there's really, you know, there's some fun names in the sense of I enjoy saying Eric Cumberbatch and, you know, Brandon Brown and Chris Carpenter. Like, there's a couple UTSA guys. Patrick Jenkins, a defensive lineman out of Tulane, Marrero kid, he will be one of the tryout players. So it was some interesting names. And then obviously the UDFAs. We mentioned Marcus Jones in the last hour. James Burnup, the punter out of Alabama. I think he's going to be your punter next year.
There's been a lot of buzz around punter this year, which is funny.
And Mucci Dixon, who I think reminds me a little bit of Khalil Shakir. I'm not saying he's going to be Khalil Shakir in the NFL, but that's his kind of game. You know, he does, gets a lot of work on kind of in cuts over the middle of the field. He's a fast guy. I wouldn't say he is a burner, but you know, like I wouldn't say Khalil Shakir is a burner, but I think he uses his speed pretty well. He kind of throttles up, throttles down. He makes plays over the middle of the field. So I think he's going to be a guy that people see make plays in the preseason and get excited about. Maybe a practice squad guy. Torricelli Simpkins III, the guard out of South Carolina. Interesting player, big bodied. I wouldn't say he wins all the time, but he never seems to lose. And by that I mean, you know, stalemating as an offensive lineman is a good thing. Like you want to play even and win some reps. You just can't get driven into your quarterback's lap in pass protection. You can't get driven back off the line in run blocking and get your running back eaten up. And what I appreciate there is he's always fighting. He's just a kind of a vicious blocker, really athletic. So, you know, this is a team that I think someone's got to win the guard spot. You need depth at guard. You have guys like Dylan Radins. Maybe Trevor Penning works in there. Will Clapp, probably your backup center. He could play guard too. Landon Young, a tackle who was converted to guard. So, you know, like when I look at UDFAs, I say, okay, who could possibly make the roster? Like these two, the edge rusher, Jasheen Davis, and the defensive end out of Tennessee, Omari Thomas. Like the defensive end edge rusher spot is loaded with players. Like I just don't see a route for a UDFA to make the roster. Whereas, you know, some of these other guys, maybe, you know, a guard, maybe.
Right. We talked about on Inside Black and Gold that punter spot, you only have one guy you're competing against.
Yeah. I don't have to outrun the bear. I just have to outrun you.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
You know, so yeah, I mean, you only have to beat out one guy, and that one guy isn't, you know, Thomas Morstead, right? Like, when you moved on from Thomas Morstead, it was stunning because it was like, oh, that's Thomas Morstead. He's been here forever. He is the guy. And then, you know, went to Blake Gillikin and we were like, oh, maybe he'll be the guy for the next 10 years. But they moved on from him pretty unceremoniously. And he's still out there punting pretty well. It's not like he's doing nothing. You know, they went to Lou Headley, then they went to Matt Hayball. And why not? Just you've dealt with a rookie punter each of the last 2 years. It's not like you're afraid of doing that. So, you know, I think you're going to see him out there. He's got a cannon for a leg. I was impressed. You know, I watched some of his punts. It's hard to find a lot of film of the punter. But he had a couple really incredible games at Alabama. You know, and what's impressive is how often it seems like the returner wants nothing to do with fielding his punts. And that means that he's able to mask the direction very well. You know, you'll see him kind of shift his feet late. You know, because you're setting up one way and the returner kind of sees that. And so, I don't know. I think there's a lot of nuance to his game that is impressive for, you know, a guy coming in as a rookie. But, and it's not like Matt Hayball's been in the league for 5 years. He's going to be a second year pro.
I mentioned this on Inside Black and Gold podcast too. Curious to see more of the corner, Dallas Beanham,
yep,
from South Dakota State, 6'1", 200 pounds, good size there. Could be that nickel role that you're looking to fill right now.
Yeah, he was another guy I could not find any tape on. It's not a ton of South Dakota State film rolling around the old YouTube. There's cornerback, defensive back. I think anytime you can contribute as a special teamer,
right,
you have a chance to make the roster. And
have
I think
to.
That's
right.
Why it's a lot easier at times for, say, a Rico Payton last year to make the roster, because you knew he was going to contribute on special teams regardless. When you're looking at a Mucci Dixon, you know, is all, you know, he's 6'1", 187. Can he make a tackle? Can he be out there as a gunner or a jammer? Like, I don't know. Did he even do that in college? I don't know. I do know that Dallas Beanham, that Elliot Davison, the kid out of UTSA, you know, even, you know, Tyreem Powell out of Rutgers, you know, these guys, I can throw them on the field in coverage and kick coverage, which is going to be a very important part of the game this year with the changes to the kickoff, and feel like, okay, they can go out and do that. You know, and if they can also contribute at their natural position, great. But I don't know. What's the use of of your sixth wide receiver if he cannot contribute on special teams. And just to say, Tyreem Powell is interesting, a linebacker. He's 6'5", 252. I think he's more of an – he's kind of a tweener. And that's when you look at the UDFAs a lot of times, especially on defense, you find tweeners. You know, like
right, where do they fit?
He's 6'5", 252. That's too big to be an inside linebacker. But he's also doesn't have the build to be an outside linebacker. But he is kind of an intriguing piece. Like, you can kind of move him around. I think he's a guy who could land on the practice squad, and you develop him and into more of an edge-rushing mold. Because when you watch him at Rutgers, you know, he just never quits on a play. He's always chasing stuff down. I don't think he has the foot speed to be an inside linebacker. But you give him a couple years, you put on a little extra weight, bulk up a little bit, and suddenly you could have an edge rusher. So, you know, there's going to be some interesting guys to watch. I just don't know if there's roster spots for him.
We were funny. We were talking about the overhyping some things at rookie minicamp, and I'm just seeing now on Twitter a tweet with a video of Cam Ward throwing the football saying, "Cam Ward will be special. The Titans have found their franchise QB."
He can throw a football.
He can throw it.
Whoa. Who saw that coming? He can spin it. Oh, that's my favorite one. Oh, that kid can spin it. Like, they all spin it. If you show me the quarterback's ball's not spinning out of.
Another one for me when breaking down quarterbacks, he can make all the throws. And, like, shouldn't they all be able to do that?
Yeah, well, they should. Some guys can, some guys can't. That's one I actually like. But people say that about people, and then I'm like, but can he though? Can he make all the throws? Or are you just saying that because it sounds cool coming out? But Tyler Shuck, he can make all the. You know, I'm just.
Even like draft time when breaking down prospects, you hear people say he's very athletic. And it's, really?
Yeah.
That's one that I hate that terminology during draft time.
My favorite one is I think it's a Chris Collinsworth one that he says lines like, "That guy's a football player." Like, oh, is he
really
good? I was worried we drafted a soccer player.
We are waiting to find out when LSU baseball will get underway. The game one against Arkansas was supposed to be a 6:30 start, but weather has postponed that. Still waiting to hear from the school when we will get a first pitch underway tonight, or will we even get that game in tonight? We might have a doubleheader tomorrow. We'll find out. When we do, we'll let you know. Going to take a break here on Sports Talk. What you doing this rainy Friday, folks? Sound off on the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. Me, Jeff, and Charlie will be here, 504-260-1870. Saints, NBA playoffs, LSU baseball, whatever you want to sound off on, chime in right here on WWL. Be back after the break.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Back here Friday night, sports talk, LSU baseball delayed against Arkansas. Getting word from some folks, too, that the players have loaded up into their bus and made their way back to their hotel. Luckily, that is just across the street from the stadium, but it doesn't appear that a start time is happening any time soon between LSU and Arkansas this evening. Guesstimations would be like 8:30, hopefully not a 9 o'clock start. Those late games are killers to me, Guy. I see you yawning already. You're killing me, Jeff.
I don't know what you're talking about. This is a radio show. You're outing me in front of the audience. My mic was muted. No one even heard me. But yeah, no, rain delay. That's like that baseball. Like I love baseball. What the rain delays are what drive me insane.
For sure.
It's the only sport. Like I guess football, you have lightning delays. Like occasionally you'll have a delay like that. But it's just. You know, like you get so excited, you want to watch a game, then suddenly, like, especially if you don't know, like, a lot of people are probably tuning in.
Like, where's the game?
Like, why are we listening to these idiots? I want to hear baseball or watch baseball if you're a TV person. I don't know what that's like, but yeah.
Do you think the sponsors and donators over at LSU would ever think about building a roof over Alec Box Stadium?
No.
I don't think so either.
I don't think there's any.
Many, if any,
and I don't
domes
like,
in college baseball.
I don't like indoor baseball either. That's the problem. It's like I hate rain delays, but I also hate indoor baseball. So
I was kind of joking with assistant program director Ian Hoke earlier. Can we get some kind of invention where we get like a big tarp, like a big circus tent almost you can put over the field just for rain?
You want them to invent a tarp?
Yeah, a tarp big enough
like,
to cover
like
the baseball
one of those,
field,
like
right.
One of those like parachutes that you played
yes,
with in
exactly.
school and you thought, you know, you put it down and you're like, I bet I could jump on that because it looks soft. And then you jump on it and you end up with a concussion, that sort of thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it wouldn't stop the lightning issue, but it would definitely help with the rain.
Yeah, probably. That's what they should get. They should get one of those big parachute tarps, and before the game, you just go out and whoop, you put it down, and it'll hold all the air. We all know it works. I see no problems with this.
We're ready to head to Shark Tank with our million-dollar idea.
Yep.
Looking at this matchup, Arkansas, the Razorbacks, a tough squad in Alec Box Stadium here, 40-9 on the season, 17-7 in SEC play. The Tigers are 38-11 overall, 15-9 in conference action. Coach Jay Johnson on the Jay Johnson Show talked about this matchup against the Razorbacks, and here's what he had to say.
Obviously, as we head down the stretch here, Arkansas playing absolutely red hot. They sweep the Texas Longhorns in Fayetteville this past weekend, who was number one in the nation. Arkansas hits the ball well. They pitch the ball well. They lead the SEC in defense. Not a whole lot of weaknesses once again for Dave Van Horn and the Razorbacks coming in Friday.
No, I mean they're a real complete team. I think they're the only team that has 40 wins in the country. I actually fully expected, not that the polls really mean anything at all, you know, other than the RPI and what the NCAA selection committee looks at. But I fully expected them to be the number one team in the country this morning. When I saw 7, I was like, man, do these guys even watch the games? You know, it's a really good team, and I'm really excited about this challenge. I'm very happy to be playing at home, I can say that, for this series, and we're going to need everybody out there because it's going to require all of us, our coaches, our players, our fans, you know, to be awesome this weekend, because it should be one of the best weekends of the year. Last home weekend, last SEC home weekend, and probably playing the team playing better than anybody in the country right now.
Looking at them statistically right now, as I mentioned, they lead the SEC in fielding, so you kind of assume they're not going to come in and hurt themselves. You're going to have to beat them. And it appears Dave Van Horn has put a really elaborate pipeline to the island of Hawaii. He's got two Aloy brothers that have transferred to Arkansas. Now they're playing together for the Razorbacks, and they currently lead the team in hitting. They're two special guys. I was asked on the LSU Sports mobile app earlier today who are some of the names that fans should be looking for. I think it starts with Aloy, who we saw last year, who transferred in from Sacramento State and was one of the top shortstops in the country. Now his brother, younger brother, transfers in from BYU, and he's kind of picked up as well.
Yeah, they have a very good offense, and you know, they maybe has been a more pitching and defense dominated program the last couple years, and they've been as good as anybody if you look at the last 10 years in the SEC in terms of just consistency. But yeah, they have a good offense, very strong, very physical, hit with power. On the pitching side, it'll be a bunch of guys up to 100 miles an hour, you know, much like, you know, Tennessee's staff. A couple good left-handers, you know, starting with Zach Rude on Friday. And so it's going to be awesome and really excited. You know, if you have an anti-rain dance, let's get those going so we can play this straight up with true Friday and Saturday night games in the box.
That would be great. You know, you mentioned the strong arms, big arms for this Arkansas team. I know, regardless of who you're playing and who the personnel is, one of the keys is always to get to the bullpen. But what will we see when they open up the pen for Arkansas behind what we know is a very good group of starters?
Yeah, I think they've gone Root and then Gage Wood and then Beetlesheese, so left, right, left. And then they put Gabe Gackle, who was their Saturday starter, in the pen after Wood. Parker Coyle, one of their relievers, is coming back this weekend. Aiden Jimenez, transfer from Oregon State, you know, has really taken a good step after coming back off an injury. So there's a lot of guys they can go to, and you know, our players want to play professional baseball. This is what you see from a pitching standpoint. So it's gonna be a good weekend, and can't wait to compete in it.
Yeah, we can't wait to compete either, Coach. And unfortunately, that anti-rain dance did not work. We are in a delay for LSU baseball taking on Arkansas Game 1. Still no start time has been decided. Seeing reports, though, from folks on social media that the Arkansas team did get on their bus, go back to their hotel room. Don't know what exactly that means, but it definitely says to me this matchup is not starting anytime soon. Seeing some speculation, maybe 8:30, 9 o'clock kind of start time. Will definitely keep you updated when we find out the latest. Looking at this Arkansas squad, man, just seemed like an all-around team. You got the bats, you got the pitching. Even it was mentioned by Chris Blair there in the interview with Coach, their fielding percentage I think is the highest in the SEC. They're not killing themselves, not making mistakes. Really tough all around. And we talked to SEC Network analyst Todd Walker, who talked about the Arkansas offense.
They're patient, and they're willing to let you self-implode if you're going to do it. But then the damage numbers are there. They've got eight players in that lineup, including this new kid, Reese Robin, that just got in the lineup. He's only got 30 plate appearances. Eight of their players have an OPS, the combination of slugging percentage and on-base percentage, of over 1,000. So if you get 1.0 or above, that's elite. And they've got eight guys in that lineup that can do that. So that kind of shows you the combination of power and patience, like walks and taking your time, but also the damage. They've got eight of those guys. So offensively, yeah, they're as good as it gets. And what that means as a group is there's just nowhere to breathe. You know, I mean, there's no easy outs where you can just pump it down the middle and take a break. And so what ends up happening is the pitchers don't last as long. You know, in a game, and it's an advantage for Arkansas. But you know, the on the flip side, Kane Anderson just feels like Paul Skeens, in that he doesn't break. He just doesn't break. I mean, he's just mentally tough, and so that's what I'm interested to see: Kane Anderson versus this Arkansas offense on Friday night. That's the matchup.
Razorbacks number one in the SEC with a .316 team batting average. They also lead the league in hits and runs. They're third in the league with 102 home runs this season. Looking at Razorbacks pitching staff, they're number four in the SEC with a 3.75 ERA. Arkansas fifth in the league in opponent's batting average. Tonight, we're waiting to see that Cade Anderson lefty versus lefty matchup for Arkansas. They've got Zach Root on the mound for them. He's 6-3 on the season, a 3.95 ERA, 66 innings pitched, 24 walks with 92 strikeouts. We talked to the great Joe Healy of D1Baseball.com. He broke down some of the Arkansas pitching staff, especially Zach Root and what he brings to the Hogs.
Yeah, you look at the numbers on the stuff, and it's a fastball that can get up into the mid-90s, and so you think, okay, big swing and miss guy, and he does get a lot of swing and miss. He struck out 92 in 66 innings, but kind of the secret sauce for him is that he's also a guy that can get soft contact. So he doesn't have to just blow hitters away. And a lot of pitchers that rely on the strikeout pitch, you know, also have games where their pitch counts get elevated because they're going to 2-2 and 3-2 counts consistently. Well, you know, Root's a guy that, yes, he can strike guys out, but really when he's pitching well, he's sinking that fastball to where he's getting guys to pound it into the ground early in counts. And okay, if he gets a count that runs deep, he does have the stuff to come back and put a hitter away with a strikeout. But when he's really, really cruising, and I think we saw this a little bit last weekend where, yes, he struck out a bunch of guys against Texas, but also he went 8 innings because his pitch count was only 99 at the end of 8 innings. And so that tells you he was getting a lot of outs early in the count. So it's one of those deals where if you're LSU, you don't really necessarily want to run deep counts because Root does have the varied arsenal that can make it tough to hit with two strikes. But on the other hand, if you're aggressive early in the count, you're kind of playing into his hand because there's a good chance you're going to pound the ball into the ground. And when you've got a pitcher that kind of makes it difficult to decide how you want to attack him, that's what makes for a special pitcher, and Root's definitely that.
Just 2 weekends left of SEC play, and then we get into postseason SEC tournament, and of course the big one, the march to Omaha. Who's going to end up in the College World Series? Healy from D1 Baseball mentions the fact that these Hogs, Arkansas is a contender, but LSU is too.
Even when they had lost a few series in a row, I was still pretty steadfast in Arkansas's. When Arkansas is playing its game, it's the best team I've seen this year. I saw them in person against Georgia, you know, 3-4 weeks ago now, and they lost that series, and I came out of it thinking absolutely that Arkansas was the better team. Georgia just happened to get 2 more clutch hits than they did on the weekend, and so they lost 2 one-run games, and that was all it was. So, you know, I think we're starting to see with last weekend, Arkansas maybe wake up a little bit. I would also agree with Glenn in this regard that, you know, I've kind of thought of LSU as being on a similar plane with Arkansas in terms of, you know, quality. You know, it's Texas, Arkansas, LSU. I kind of, and maybe Tennessee has fallen off a little bit, but those 3 teams I've been consistent about kind of being the upper crust in the SEC. And I'm not saying a series loss here would mean LSU isn't in that group, but it is an opportunity to kind of reiterate, as people are maybe starting to question, at least offensively, LSU at this point, it is an opportunity for LSU to kind of pump the brakes on that a little bit, especially with it being a home series. You anticipate it being just an absolutely crazy crowd for this series, given the magnitude of it. And so I would agree that it is a big opportunity for LSU to prove that they are right up there with Arkansas in terms of teams that should be considered national title contenders when it's all said and done.
You know, Joe Healy mentioning the LSU offense there struggling of late. You know, it was tough in that series against Texas A&M. They lost 3-1, 6-4, and won a game 2-1. There definitely seems to be a run outage lately in the SEC play for the Bayou Bengals. They did get to run rule Tennessee a couple weeks back. That was a 12-2 matchup against the Vols there. But overall, I guess on the road, it seems like this Tiger team, the Bats, have struggled a lot more than at home. I guess that's to be expected. And just hopefully they can get things back on track, looking like that superpower that I feel like they did a lot earlier in the season. Of late, not so much.
Yeah, specifically last weekend, I think is why a lot of people are a little bit down on the Bats, because they just didn't really do much at Bluebell Park. I mean, the pitching was good enough to win that weekend series, clearly, but you know, it's hard to win multiple matchups in the SEC when you're not breaking the 4-run barrier. I mean, especially game one was bad. Like,
you hear Jay, he wants 6 runs a game.
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of what you're looking for when you have really good pitching. And LSU's got really good pitching. I know that there are questions in the bullpen outside of Cason Evans and Zach Cowan, and Zach Cowan had a bad weekend at Texas A&M as well. But they pitched well enough at Bluebell Park to win that weekend series and potentially even sweep. But the offense just didn't really show up. And so that's what's going to be key for this weekend series against Arkansas, because Arkansas has got a really good pitching staff too, Steve. They're top 5 in the SEC in multiple categories, including team ERA. But if LSU's offense can kind of retain some of the form that they showed at the end of the Tennessee series, and then you're looking at a potential series victory against the Razorbacks, which would be gigantic, you know, heading into the final week of the regular season.
For all the complaint I'm doing about the LSU batting, they still are number 2 in the SEC in team batting average with a .306 average. They also are number 4 in runs scored in the conference with 404. So just maybe a little bit of an outage last week against Texas A&M. Seeing if they can rebound against the Hogs. We're waiting to find out that start time for game 1. Taking a break here on Sports Talk We'll return with even more, so keep it locked right here on WWL.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50, code LISTEN50.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Want to remind everybody, don't forget you can have this show delivered directly to your phone absolutely free. You can listen to all 4 hours, one specific hour, or just the hottest clips. Just download the Odyssey app and follow Bobby Hebert. It's that easy. We realize you can't always listen to this entire show live, so Odyssey makes it easy to listen when you want and how you want. That goes for this show or any of the WWL shows that you love. Download the free Odyssey app today and take control, or just tell your smart speaker, play WWL. Still waiting on LSU baseball to give us a start time for this evening. Mentioned the fact that the Arkansas baseball team boarded their bus and went back to the hotel room. Now, it doesn't sound as bad as it maybe it does. It's not as bad as it sounds because their hotel is directly across from Alec Box Stadium, but it doesn't seem like this game is getting underway anytime soon in Baton Rouge. I guess they're still experiencing a ton of rain there as well that could be detrimental to the field. The good part is, guys, I don't think that lightning is an issue tonight, but who knows?
Yeah. I don't have anything to add to that.
We'll be interesting to see tomorrow, Jeff. We're going out for Saints rookie minicamp, the conditions of the fields out at the practice facility, and if we'll be in the indoor.
I'd be surprised. At this point, with so much rain falling, I'd be surprised if the field was even playable. Like, they probably don't want to put anyone out.
Or risk injuries. Yeah, right. Forget the field even damaging that.
Yeah, so I'd be surprised. I'd imagine it's inside. They're going to practice midday, so probably, you know, I'm not complaining, not standing out in the sun, even this time of year.
You think we'll get to go up in the balcony cafeteria area and watch practice from there?
I'd guess not. I guess that is not made for us. But they did put out a bunch of pictures from practice today, and I have some hot takes. QB1, baby. You could see it. You could see it on his face.
You could just tell.
You could just tell.
He's got the stuff.
You could sense it. This is me being sarcastic, by the way. Yeah. Yeah, if there was an emoji, it'd be the one where he's like huffing, you know, like blowing smoke out of his nose
because
he's so, you know, that. I'm making fun of people on Twitter. That's what I'm doing.
What we're going to do is take a break here on Sports Talk. Going to hear you can sound off on our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and text line. It's 504-260-1870. We'll be back with more right after this. Stay tuned on WWL. Back here on Sports Talk. Wish I had some update for you folks on LSU baseball, but there has been nothing put out by the team yet about a start time for this evening's Game 1 action against Arkansas, so that's still up in the air. Although pretty curious that their social media team did release the lineup for this evening, so you would think that would indicate things were starting up sometime soon.
Scheduled tweet.
Maybe, right.
That's all I have to say.
Looking at some action that is going on right now, Jeff, the Cavaliers and Pacers in Game 3 of that series, Indiana leads the series 2-0, but they are down big time right now to the Cavs early on.
Yes, 19-5 with about 7 minutes to go. It's over here on our right. I think, you know, it'll be interesting to see if one or both of these series between, you know, Celtics, Knicks, Pacers, Cavs gets back to 2-2.
Right.
Because if it gets to 3, it's really not like danger zone until it gets to 3-1 or 3-2. I would not be surprised at all, just based on watching a lot of Celtics games, is if they go out, win the next three games, lose game six, and then end up, basically down to the wire at home in game seven, like a tied with 2 minutes to go, just to add drama there.
Were you surprised with this series, the Pacers and Cavs, that Indy was able to take the first two? I know a lot of folks kind of considered the Cavaliers not legit from the get-go into the playoffs.
I wouldn't say surprised. I mean, Indy's a good team. They robbed game two. Like, they lost game two. That was over. The Cavs handed it to them. So I don't know. Surprise. I mean, they have good team. Whenever you have a core of players that's been around as long as they have, you have to take them seriously. And the Cavs clearly just thought that game two was over.
Keep it locked on WWL. We will have that LSU baseball game for you sometime this evening when it gets underway. Jeff and I will be out at Saints Rookie Minicamp tomorrow. Keep it locked on WWL.com for the latest on the black and gold.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed and Odyssey Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.